I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional coach, making sure that everything in your work and in your life is nothing less than spectacular. I have on the show today Hannah Bauer. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Jody.
I'm thrilled that you're on here. So let me tell you a little bit about Hannah. Hannah Bauer is the founder of and CEO of Heartnomics, a leadership and organizational transformational firm helping leaders rebuild trust, alignment, and resilience in times of pressure and change. A Maxwell Leadership faculty member, Lean Six Sigma Black Belt and Baldrige Examiner, she blends human-centered leadership with practical systems to help organizations eliminate burnout and unlock their full potential. A childhood heart disease survivor and pioneer medical patient, Hannah's story inspires her signature message of love and excellence. Leadership has a rhythm, and when leaders regain it, teams and organizations transform. Wow, that is lovely. Now, you know, because of what was going on earlier in your life, had and surviving it and dealing with it, had you always wanted to help people do their best and be who they are authentically to really experience success?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, Jody. Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. I love the name Spectacular Life and making sure everything's spectacular. Yes.
Absolutely. And we can all have it, right?
Yes. And I love it because you have, you know, just life, right? I mean, spectacular life. And yes. I think, I mean, when you ask me that question, it goes back to that because for me, it was a dream to live. I mean, going through it was at the time a terminal diagnosis with lethal rhythm, living with that, the life was just so fragile. So did I have like, oh, I want to go and help somebody? It became later. Because as a kid, I didn't quite understand what's fighting for breathing. But what I did notice, and especially as I grew up, I mean, through very scary times in my life, where the people that came, right, not only the medical community, of course, my parents, but neighbors, people that would help my mom, people that would help my dad, you know, people that would give my dad a job that allowed for him to be able to maintain my family, for people that in times of harsh needs donated things to us, you know, so there was all of these parts that I didn't know what it was. I mean, I could have called it at the time as a kid, love and goodwill. And later on, I really became to learn, no, that's service. And what service is leadership. So that's when I put those pieces together. It's like, I want to do that. I want to serve.
I want to help.
Yeah, I want to do that. If I make it through this, I wanted, that's the only world I knew, but I knew that I wanted it to be what people were giving me. Yeah. I wanted it to matter. And I felt the best way to honor that was to serve back. And in that service, I learned what leadership was.
And it also sounds, you also learned what gratefulness is. Because what I'm hearing is, you know, these people in your life, neighbors, family, really helped you. And now, and probably way before now, you are very grateful for that. And that's part of opening up. I love the name of your, you know, of your firm is Heartnomics. And
yes.
How could you not be grateful for that? So, in wanting to choose this kind of life and wanting to learn about leadership and really wanting to be of service to people, did you have any challenges that you needed to learn about, that you needed to get over, that were plaguing your life and plaguing your mindset?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I would like to say that I got into this out of inspiration, but it was really out of desperation. I was needing to make something work. So have I had a lot of lines? Yes. I mean, I usually get to talk about like the initial part and being a kid, but even after that part, thank to the Lord that I'm healthy, I'm alive, I'm cool. But moving on to like the second phase when I got my, hey, you're normal, you get to go live your life. I'm like, yeah, you're good. I didn't know how to. Like I had to learn. So a challenge to me was even understanding what being human was, even understanding on connecting with other people, not to where, again, because I've been receiving a lot in the hospital. I mean, like everything's done for you because I couldn't get up. I literally couldn't do the things. I mean, I couldn't go to school, couldn't breathe on my own, but all those things. So in a sense, like a big challenge initially for me. And I didn't even realize that was a challenge. I didn't think like, oh, I don't think I know how to be a human. No, that wasn't the challenge. The challenge was that I didn't really know how to communicate.
Well, we only know what we
Right.
know, right? We only
Right.
know what we're given, what we model after. And then I love
Yes.
hearing that you're normal. And then it's like, now what?
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't have a diagnosis for what I was going, the challenge I was going through, right? I mean, I was just going through that. It was, how do I make decisions? How do I start utilizing this discernment? All these different things. What am I going to study? How do I get to school? Go to school? How do I get in? Like all of these other questions, and really understanding that there was this desire always inside of me, right, for life and for living and looking at the best. A lot of my lessons and what I teach today came from learning in the hospital bed. The little things did matter, but as far as overcoming the challenges, it was one thing seeing it in the bed and even in sort of a safety controlled environment, right? What there's all these other people that are understanding that you're going through a problem because they can see that you're not breathing, they can see that your heart's not beating well. But what about when you don't have those monitors? What about when you are the monitor, and there's nobody else that is, in essence, keeping an eye out to make sure, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And then having to learn for me to be that my own monitor, be my own awareness, and start asking for help or learning or whatever things on my own. That was as in itself a challenge, which is what got me so it rose my curiosity. So I studied psychology, I studied DISC, I studied human sciences, I started human behavior. So those were really in those studies. It wasn't because I just wanted to get a certification or a degree. I was trying to find a solution to a problem of how do I do that on my own when I don't have all these graphs and people and monitors telling me when something's wrong or when something can be better, or how do I start aligning? So those were the markers, realizing that just like in the hospital, it wasn't just me. I mean, I felt the pain, so of course I would voice that out. But it was all this other group of people coming together that came up with the solutions, and that's where my community work started. That's how I realized that too. Once you are in line with your purpose, once I'm serving and you're there, realizing that you can't solve the world's problems. You have to learn to leverage. You have to learn to be collective, right? You have to connect with people. And that's where my skill set started coming in. That's where the communication, getting better, being a better communicator, being a connector, being a leader, learning with empathy, learning systems, learning processes. All of those came as looking for solutions for the problems I was facing as I was going through in life.
And it's really important that you brought up that we need community. We
Yes.
need people. We in any team, whether it's your own business or business that you're working with, everybody has a skill, a strength within that team, and it's about using that as being, one of the team to make the outcome successful. So what
Oh,
would
yeah.
you say your, I'm even gonna term it your superpower is? What did you find through, reading psychology and learning skills and systems?
One that I did enjoy solving complex problems. It didn't scare me. I think, and it also came from being, I think, having gone through so much uncertainty and crisis in life, it just was simple things that, although they were simple, they took a lot of the fear of more complex things. And understanding that that in itself was a strength for me to be able to use. And seeing that, it also helped me value the complexity that we are as humans. So even in processes and systems, when we're looking at like this organization that's made up of so many things, basically sales, marketing, human resources, looking at all this and very complex things. One of my strengths is like not to let that be seen like all this nebulous, but I'm able to conceptualize, with like what the critical things are, because I learned to do that for so many years. So I think one was understanding that there was a place for me with that, because I didn't know what to do with it at first. I'm like, well, I have these complex problems. What do I do? But then it really understanding other humans, understanding my own humanity so I can understand other humans, it the ability to be able to then value what each person and learning that leverage. And I think that's why I love teams. Because team dynamics is about that. Team dynamics is really to be able to place teams in their own strengths, because you don't want to put in even like the leader everything carrying on their shoulders, which is what they
It
feel. On the
doesn't work.
contrary, it
It
doesn't.
wouldn't work.
Yet leaders consistently do it. It
Yeah, they
doesn't work.
do.
They do.
They think they should do it and
Exactly.
micromanage, but it's really about allowing each person in that team again to shine, to show off their skill. If you were on my team, I would be so thankful because your understanding of how to simplify complexity, and that is just very that's a very great thing. You prioritize and you start with you being a very important member of that team.
Yeah, and I think it's so interesting because it is as I realized in my work, how I'm able to support leaders is because they do feel like the whole micromanaging, having to carry all this stuff. And in reality, when we're able to really not only perceive, which a lot of times we perceive other strengths before they see their own strengths. I know that happened for me. Like, people were able to see something right there. It's like, oh, really? You think that? And people see that, and that's a great position about a leader, the ability that you have to see other people's strengths. And when you see them, help nurture those strengths. So creating those environments in the team dynamics to be able to have that person individualized to create, to be able to not only be a catalyst to support their strength and the growth of their strength, but also be able to leverage and complement each other's strengths. And
That's
I think that's what
amazing.
the leader in a team, that to me is what I became addicted to.
Yeah, I came, I love the way you put that. And we want people to essentially use their strengths. I know what my strengths are. I know what they're not. And I would much rather have somebody else who's really good at something take over that part. While at the same time, again, if we can all discuss things and communicate, it's like that person has my back, I've got that person's back. And again, we're all looking at a successful outcome, and with whether it's numbers, percentage growth, communication, percentage sales, whatever it is, that has to happen. But there are many parts of that have to make that happen. And that's the exciting part, is we don't have to do it all by ourselves. If I was a leader, I just want to make sure everybody's got resources that they need, that they've got everything they need. They could see me, talk to me, and we can brainstorm some things together.
Yeah. And Jody, I
Yeah.
think it's so interesting what you just brought up, you know, because you brought up success, right? So, and it's true because we're wanting people to grow in their success and
Man.
express their strengths. And that the success then, and that's the other part that I see where many times a disconnect is. So where it causes that frustration and the complexity because like, hey, I'm not feeling fulfilled. The question, the definition may come, but again, it's because we haven't one clearly defined what success is. But two is also aligning the success, the purpose of that, along with the purpose of the person. There has to be an alignment, right? I mean, we know there's some things, and even in different times, I know my roles have evolved, even as a mom. You know, doesn't mean I'm obsolete. It just means that for this season, that's not where I need to be. I no longer need to express my role in that way. My role has evolved. And the same thing is as a leader, we're seeing that right now as the roles evolve, as the way that we do work or as the timing of things evolve, also consistently being able to leverage the strengths, grow the strengths, or even move strengths in different areas where they need to go.
Well, we all grow and we all change and we all have desires to do or to be or to work at something
Belong.
different and we move on. And it's about like what you did, listening to what that skill is. Like, oh, I wanna try that. I think I'd be really good at that. I've already accomplished what I wanted with these skills in my last position or last project. And that's where I get really excited, and I'm sure you do, in nurturing that those skills, those new
Yes.
skills, and people keep growing, and that's what life is about. Job, personal relationships, different things, different things that challenge us in our lives, if whatever we want to learn is a new skill. So
Yeah.
that's what it's all about. Now I wanted to read briefly you made acronyms out of HEART, which is kind of, I
Yeah.
think, the structure, the basis of your coaching. And HEART is hope, empowerment, accountability, results, and trust. And I was really curious about why you started with hope, because I would think, as far as an acronym, I want reach goals or, results would come up, maybe the first in the list. So tell me why hope is number one.
Because it's the catalyst for action. It is with hope. If I realized a lot of times, I mean, as I went on through my life, as I had on 5 kids, yes, you heard right,
Oh,
five kids.
goodness.
Yeah, I know, right? That's enough to give anybody a heart attack. I've gone through two heart attacks. You know, they did a really good job. But I mean, as you go, as going through life, and you know, we get really busy. We caught up in the day to day and all this stuff. And then I started saying, well, I before I used to say, yeah, I'll have later on. I'll have time for that. And later on, I didn't even say I had later on time for that because I kind of forgotten about that. And then when something else triggered and it reminded me, it's like, oh yeah, well, I don't have time. And then come to realize it wasn't a time management thing. It was a hope thing. You know, it was a that I had lost hope in that area, that I really wasn't trying to do something to change or impact that area or grow that area. So when I started learning that, I realized that hope, it was not a passive thing. It's not just a positive thinking or, hey, this great feel good thing, but really hope is not only is the catalyst for action, but it's also a strategy, a major part of the strategy. Because if you think about the things that we do as leaders, when we talk about vision casting, when we're talking about things that we haven't gone somewhere yet, when we're talking about change management, that, hey, we're going to put in this work and it's going to cost a lot. It's going to cost effort, money, time. It's because we're hopeful that at the end of this, It's going to give us that, right? So a lot of I started with hope because hope helps me to be able to find a way where perhaps I don't see immediately a way. Hope gives me that catalyst, and people that we see that are high hope, growing in that hope, just like a muscle, it's a skill that we can grow in. Growing in hope is going to help me then be that much more not only looking out for solutions, but when I do encounter those challenges, it's going to help me to look also for the overcoming in those challenges as well. It's going to help. That's why hope, it begins with hope.
Lovely. And what I'm picking up is hope is more than just, again, a word that just gets said. I hope things will change. Yeah,
No.
nothing that's just kind of I wish things
Right, as
change.
I
I wish, and nothing's gonna get
wish.
behind it. But the way you're describing it is really hope and really setting, as you say, kind of the tempo
Yes.
for your transformation,
Yes.
hoping inspirational,
Yes.
which helps you to do something every day.
Yes.
Because hope is, I think hope is very positive
Yeah.
for us as humans, and it opens us up to look at opportunities.
Oh, yes.
And
Exactly right.
yeah, to actually be a little more open than the normal description of this word, or again, just saying things will change.
Yeah.
We
No.
have to do a lot more than
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, no, it gives you that strategy, I mean, and I learned that with from my doctors. I mean, like they were in my case, there was no cure. So it wasn't like they were necessarily looking, okay, we're doing this and this is what's going to happen. This is the progression of it. There was no cure. It required high hopeful professionals to be able to see beyond the current technology, beyond the current research, beyond the current state to push through to continue to collect the information, even in light of failure. So eventually led them to do the innovative surgery, which happened with me. I mean, in 1992, I became a medical breakthrough in the way that heart disease is treated. It continues to be today. But it was at a time where there's no information. I mean, here they have a kid. I'm not the only one that went through that, but in light of that, I saw hope in the strategies that they were continuing to do, because every time they would walk in the room and after something didn't work, let me tell you, I would not have wanted to be in that doctor's shoes, in my doctor's shoes, breaking those news. Yet some way, somehow, he was able to be able to put that hope in us that even when that surgery, the opportunity for the surgery that came in, which had never been done before, high risk, the ones that were done before were also high risk, supposedly worked, didn't work, to take us as a family to be able to go to a place of trust to where a very high risk, no guarantees, a history of not working stuff for 5 years to still take that chance. It required high hope and a transfer of hope so that we can take on the journey. And then this is what happened. I'm
Yeah.
here.
Well, I think it's great that this model starts with hope and ends with trust,
Yes.
because it is a process, and we are going to have some small little successes along the way, but
Yes.
we're also going to learn a lot about ourselves, what works. We're going to fail at some things, we're going to regroup, we're going to move on, we're going to have a backup plan, and keep going at it, so that this hope eventually transforms into trust.
Yes.
Because we rely on ourself and we tell ourself, or I tell myself, I'm going to find a way. I've done it in the past. I've lived this long. I've problem solved. I have faith in myself. I have
Yeah.
trust in myself to find that answer. And that, I think, is a great motivator.
Oh, 100%. And I love it that you're making that connection, because you're probably the first one that really sees it like that. See everything that
Oh,
I do is in
thank you.
alignment. No, so thank you for doing that, because it's true. I mean, it is. It starts with hope. And yes, I told you, like, at the end, even this, my what I just shared with my heart, it ended up taking a step to trust. And trust was really fueled by that hope. So there's the alignment. So there is an alignment. It is a living, like a give and take and give, you know, like there's a flow to it. And honestly, that's how I've designed everything. I've designed that with heart, my heart framework. I've designed that with beat. I've designed that with core. I've designed with everything is about alignment. Because that's the lesson that I showed, you know, even in the rhythm that you talk that we talk about the rhythm, when we're not in rhythm with each other, it doesn't the song doesn't sound good. If we're not in tune with each other, it's really not pleasant to listen to. So we gotta, you know, be entering into that rhythm, entering that flow, which really, I mean, for some people they call it rhythm, some people call it alignment, you know, people call it
Right.
flow. So
But
but it goes to that.
and I look at rhythm as heartbeat, and really being authentically ourself and aligned with that heartbeat. Every step we take, and it just kind of folds in there very beautifully. So, Hannah, what are you excited about over the next few, next few months? We're entering into a new year. Yay. What are you excited about for yourself, for Heartnomics?
Well, I mean, one of the things I'm very excited about is to get the opportunity to talk to people like you know, like other experts, other people that are very committed to creating spectacular life, to creating life, and not just the redefining success. That I think, in a sense, I've had the opportunity this past few months to really talk to a lot of people, like, hey, let's challenge how we are defining success. You know, what is it really looking like? So I'm loving this conversation. So for next year, I love it. Yeah, to see as people are listening, as people are grabbing it. And there's so many things. Uncertainty has a couple of things, right? It makes you question, it may shake you. It may make you feel in somewhat less confident, but at the same time, every great breakthrough is surrounded in uncertainty. Your greatest opportunity is surrounding an uncertainty. So I'm excited that as we get to with other line of experts and people, as we're seeing this, as we're going deep into it, to start challenging that and to start honoring the humans as we are looking at great technology things. Again, I'm a result of technology. I love it. I'm a result of innovation. And at the end of the day, it was to help a life, right? And it's helped other lives. I know at the time, 10 years ago, when I was invited for a documentary on my surgery, it had saved 3,000 other children's lives.
Oh,
Yeah.
lovely.
So understanding that, and I think that's the part with us. As we are honoring humans, understanding that all these tools, all these changes, and people are, where's my place? Do I even have a role? Do I even have a purpose? You know, with AI taking on my role, or my company changing the way that they do work, you know, working globally or not working here at all. So I love that next year this message as is getting is gaining momentum, and more people are embracing, hey, yes, I want success, but maybe my success is not only meant to what I have in my bank account, which is really not. But success really is the that alignment in my purpose and the people I get to do it with, to get that fulfillment. So I'm super excited about that. In being able to continue to expand the message, continue to see Heartnomics used more in organizations. There's more organizations that have been adopting Heartnomics because it is about the human. It's also about the processes and systems, because that's the other thing, right? It's not only like, hey, I want you to do work your way. It's not that. It has to serve. It has to work. But for that, we need processes and systems. So I'm excited for more people to talk about love in the workplace, which is what Heartnomics is about, right? It's the economy of the heart. So it's love and excellence.
Look, that is great. That's bold. I'm talking about love
Isn't it?
in the workplace.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
And
Hannah, there we go. Put it
that
out
is
there. Be brave.
my call. Love
So, if somebody wants to contact you, what is the best way they can do that?
Oh, we can go to my website, Heartnomics, HEARTNOMICS.com. So that's probably the fastest, easiest way. You can also find me on LinkedIn under Hannah D. Bauer and also Facebook. So I'll be right there. So I'm on it's basically any social media. You'll be able to find me
Great.
there.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you today, and I love the heart that you brought to this episode, the heartfulness, and that's what I'm sensing. And thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much, Jody. Thank you for the brain making the space to be able to have this conversation.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, you take care.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.